الصحابي أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. You are welcome to this week's edition of the program Light of Islam. The program, as you know, is aimed at packaging teachings about Islam as well as clearing some misconceptions about the religion. It is no longer news that 2019 general elections is fast approaching. No wonder political activities are gathering momentum these days. And that is why we deem it fit to package a program on the political rights of citizens in Islam. And to do justice to the topic, we have in the studio our regular guest, Dr. Muhammad Tanko Ali Baitillah, Chairman, Nigeria Association of Teachers of Arabic and Islamic Studies, NATAIS, Nasarawa State Branch, a lecturer with the Department of Islamic Studies, Nasarawa State University, Kebbi, and the Chief Imam of Abu Bakr Siddiq Juma'at Mosque, Bukan Ali, here in Latvia. Ustaz, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Now, Ustaz, share with us, when we say political rights of citizens in Islam, what does that imply?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، سيدنا وحبيبنا وأسوتنا ومعلمنا رسول الله، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، I also greet our viewers with the greetings of Islam. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
It is really very important to clarify any concept before we delve into discussing it. Therefore, the relevance of the topic political rights, you have already hinted the viewer on this, looking at the period we are in now in this country. Already campaigns have begun, so we need to enlighten ourselves and the general community about the provision of Islam concerning this politics and politicking that we are into in our country at the moment. Political rights. Yes. To understand what political rights are, we need to understand what politics itself is. And there are various definitions, as we all know, about what constitutes politics. I will just give you or read one or two of what some Muslim scholars have proffered for us. That politics is the science dealing with the form, organization, and administration of state. Or it is the management of human affairs through constituted authorities. In Islamic perspectives, politics must ensure the welfare, the current and future welfare of the citizens in their religious and mundane life. When politics is played in consistence with the laws of Islam, this is called a righteous politics. When it deviates from the teachings of Islam, this is called bad politics. So politics is, as Malam Aminu Kano rightly mentioned, is man-management. The management of the affairs of man through a constituted authority. When we talk about rights, these are things that the law gives or orders that it be done to another person. So simply that is right. So political rights in Islam, or political rights, are those rights that one is entitled to by virtue of him belonging to a political community. when you belong to a political community, the rights given to you by virtue of that, these are called political rights. Political rights are part of human rights. There are economic rights, there are social rights, there are also political rights, like the right to vote, like the right to contest for election in a community. These are what we mean by political rights.
Now, what is the relationship of Islam to politics?
Yes. Since we are saying political rights of citizens in Islam, we need to clarify whether Islam is a political religion or not, or are we imposing politics into Islam or introducing politics into Islam. There is a misconception among some even Muslims who think that Islam has nothing to do with politics, and politics has nothing to do with the religion. There is no politics without religion, and Islam can never be Islam if it is stripped out of politics. By the definition we have just mentioned of politics, there are ample evidences to prove that politics is an intrinsic part of Islam. We will give just few of this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in an authentic hadith mentioned that كانت بنو إسرائيل تسوسهم الأنبياء. The word politics in Arabic is siyasa. So the Prophet used the word تسوسهم الأنبياء, that the prophets used to lead, is another way of describing politics, used to lead, or they are the players of politics among the Banu Israel. Whenever a prophet dies, another will be raised. Kullama halaka nabi khalafahu nabi. Okay? If this is part of the responsibilities of the prophets, the Quran also told us that one of the responsibilities of the prophets is to judge between people concerning what they differ. كَانَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ النَّبِيِّينَ مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ وَأَنزَلَ مَعْهُمُ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ فِي مَا اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ وَمَا اخْتَلَفَ فِيهِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتُ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ فَهَدَى اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لما اختلفوا فيه من الحق بإذنه والله يهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. That people were a single nation. They have one direction under single leadership. They all follow the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after Allah has sent Adam to this earth. Later on, they disagree with one another concerning issues of religion and other matters. Then Allah raised prophets and messengers, giving glad tidings to those who adhere to the laws of Allah and warning those who deviated from the right path. And Allah revealed books with them so that each of these prophets will judge, guide, lead his people with the book to the right path. So if politics entails a leadership and constitution of an authority that people will follow in order to manage their lives in according to the laws that they agree upon, then this is what the messengers of Allah come to do. And this is what the Prophet of Islam also come to do. When you ponder into the Quran, you will see that there are so many verses talking about virtually all aspects of politics. Not only that, as we have defined Islam at the beginning of this program, we said that Islam seeks to regulate the entire aspects of human endeavor. So politics is inclusive, is one of these things. Islam has it that. In fact, all Muslim scholars agreed that there is an injunction for each and every activity that a Muslim can do. That is why in Akhdari, we all know this, وَلَا يَجُوزُ لَهُ أَنْ يَفْعَلَ فِعْلًا حَتَّى يَعْلَمَ حُكْمَ اللَّهِ فِيهِ. That it is unlawful for an adult Muslim, whether male or female, to do anything until he knows Allah's injunction concerning that thing. So it means that Allah has given directives on all aspects of human life, and this is what Quran expressly mentioned, that وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. We have revealed the book unto you, explaining all things. That is تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى, and a guide, وَرَحْمَةً, and a mercy, وَبُشْرَى, and a glad tidings to the Muslims. So if Islam is this complete system, then one cannot say that Islam has nothing to do with politics. Secondly, there is one obligation in Islam which is called Al-Amru Bil-Ma'ruf Wa-Nahyu Anil Munkar. That is commanding the right and avoiding the wrong. This is a responsibility that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made it obligatory on each and every capable Muslim. من رأى منكم منكرا فليغيره بيده فإن لم يستطع فبلسانه فإن لم يستطع فبقلبه وذلك أضعف الإيمان. Whoever sees anything wrong, he should seek to change it. When you talk about changing a situation, you are talking about human administration. You are talking about human management. And then Islam prescribed that if you are in any community, if there are only three people in the community, they must make leadership among them. Abu Dawood narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that إِذَا كُنْتُمْ ثَلَاثٌ فَأْتَمِرُوا وَلَا يَحِلُّ لِثَلَاثٍ يَكُونُونَ فِي ثَلَاثٍ إِلَّا أَنْ يُؤَمِّرُوا أَحَدَهُمْ. That it is unlawful for three people to live in any place on the earth without assigning leadership among them. Only three people. What if you have a state or a town or a country and a larger country or as large as Nigeria? How can you say that Islam does not have anything to do? Okay. As I also said that when you look at the Quran, there are so many verses talking about the responsibilities of the leaders and the responsibilities of the followers. Just take two verses in Surah 2 and Nisa, upon which Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah built his book As-Siyasa al-Shar'iyya fi Islahi al-Ra'i wal-Ra'iyya. That is the Sharia politics in reforming the leaders and the led. That is the meaning. He took it from two verses. Allah says in Surah al-Nisa, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِظُكُمْ بِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. Meaning, Allah commands you to deliver trust to their honors, and to add al-amanati ila ahliya. And when you judge or lead, when you judge between people, وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ, that you should judge with justice. Indeed, what a beautiful thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding you to do. Indeed, Allah is all hearing and all seeing of all that you do. Then he said, O you who believe, obey Allah, obey to the messenger of Allah and obey those in authority among you. When you disagree, then have recourse to Allah and His messenger if you indeed believe in Allah and the last day. This is the best way for you to thread. The first verse identifies the roles and responsibilities of the leaders. The second verse identifies the roles and responsibilities of the followers. What could this be if not politics? We can go on and on to establish the relationship of Islam to politics. But summarily is that there can never be Islam without politics. There can never be Islam without leadership and constituted authority that must be followed and obeyed by the citizens, by the Muslim or members of the Muslim community. To conclude on this, there are certain issues which are fundamentals in Islam that could not be implemented without political authority, without leadership. Take even among the pillars of Islam. Look at zakah. You have shahada, you have salah, you have the zakah. Who collects zakah and distributes to the people? The ideal Islamic situation is the government. Allah instructed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was the representative of that government, who was the leader of the Islamic community. خذ من أموالهم صدقة تطهرهم وتزكيهم بها وصلي عليهم. It is the leader that takes. That is the government. In fact, even the collectors who have this العاملين عليها, those who are employed by the government to collect and distribute zakah. So you cannot effectively discharge this responsibility of zakah, which demonstrates the social welfare and economic prosperity of Islam without constitutional authority. Take fasting. In an ideal situation, for Muslims to begin fasting, somebody must size the crescent and inform the leader. It is the leader that now announces and informs and obliges the Muslims to begin fast as well as to stop fasting. Take also the Hajj. You have the Amirul Hajj. You don't just go there haphazardly. You go under leadership and constant authority. So even pillars of Islam, as Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned in that book, could not be fully actualized or implemented without constitutional authority, and that is politics. Again, in other issues, when you have crimes in the society, we have punishments. You have punishment in every system of life. So in Islam, you also have punishment. But who executes when there is punishment? The political authority, the leadership. And how can you do Hajj without leadership? And there can never be leadership without politics. So in essence, politics is part and parcel of Islam. Each and every Muslim is commanded to contribute to the welfare of his community. He is mandated to also contribute to bringing good leadership to his community that may ensure collective welfare of the society.
Viewer, in case you are just joining us, the program is Light of Islam, and today we are beaming our spotlight on political rights of citizens in Islam with Dr. Muhammad Tanko Ali Baitillah, a senior lecturer with the Department of Islamic Studies, the Clark University. What are the political rights guaranteed to citizens?
Yes. There are a number of political rights that are guaranteed to the Muslims by Islam, to citizens. When we say citizen, it's anybody who lives in a given community or has the liberty to live by law in a given community. In Islam, each and every Muslim belongs to the Muslim community. But then there are some other things that each nation now determine who is a citizen in that country or so. Virtually everybody who is born in a country or a nation or lives for some period in a nation is regarded by law as citizen of that country.
Yes.
So there are a number of these political rights. Number one is the right to election, the right to elect leaders that will govern the affairs of the Muslim community. Number two is the right to contest for election. Yes, there are some little discrepancy of opinion among Muslim scholars on some of this, but they are really guaranteed by Islam. That is the right to nominate and be nominated for an election in Islam. We mentioned the right also to advise and to be listened by the leaders. Citizens have the right to advise, to objectively criticize their leaders, and it is incumbent on the leaders to listen to this criticism and advice, which Islam refers to as an-nasiha. There is also the right of the citizens to probe their leaders, ask questions concerning how they govern them or how they are governing them. Then you also have the right even to impeach the leaders when the citizens are not satisfied with their services for which they represent them. A leader is but a representative of the community. Then number six is the right to have equal opportunity to public service. These are the common six political rights of citizens that, according to Muslim scholars, are guaranteed to citizens in Islam. And these are generally the political rights of citizens.
Okay. Now let's take it one after the other. Right to citizens in Islam for politics. Can a Muslim elect? Who can he elect and how?
Yes. Number one, a Muslim, as I said in talking about the relationship between politics and Islam, is mandated. It is not even a right, but it is a responsibility. It is a right in the sense that he should be allowed to do it. And it is a responsibility that whenever he has the liberty and freedom to do it, he must participate in doing that. This is the most important right or political right in Islam and in any other system too, where they have political rights of citizens. The most important one is this one, the right to elect the leaders that will lead the community. In Islam, a Muslim is asked to elect. Some people have a misconception on this, that in Islam we have but appointment of leaders and not election of leaders. But without even mentioning verses or ahadith, just look at the community of the Sahaba immediately after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first thing they engage in because of their realization of the importance of leadership is they went to Saqifa of Banu Sa'ida to elect the leader of the Muslims. And when they went there, there were at the beginning some differences of opinion. Some among the Ansar, they say, Minna Amirun wa minkum Amir, that there should be two leaders, one from the Muhajirun and the other from the Ansar. Until Umar ibn al-Khattab delivered a somewhat sermon, reminding them that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the Quraysh should lead. And after that, they elect Abu Bakr. They elect. It was election, not selection. They elected Abu Bakr, and then they pay homage to him. And this is one of the meanings of Shura, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, described the community of the believers that wa amruhum shura baynahum. They discharge their affairs within them through mutual consultation. And one of the most important aspects, as Ibn Taymiyyah will say, that leadership is one of the most greatest responsibility or religious responsibility in Islam. So they do it through mutual consultation. And one of the ways to implement consultation is to elect and not to enforce leaders. So this is the evidence, a practical evidence for election in Islam. You may.
The Prophet I would have loved to allow you to continue, but time is no longer our side, and that is why this is how far we can go on this week's edition of the program, Light of Islam. Inshallah, next week we will continue from here. On behalf of our guest, Dr. Muhammad Tanko Ali Baitullah, a senior lecturer with the Department of Islamic Studies, Nasarawa State University, Chafi, my name is Abu Bakr Afay, saying wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ni kina 25.